Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Negative day of trading for the JSE All Share Index today, and I must tell you, looking at the US equities open, seems as though we are in good company. All Share Index has been in the red over the last 2 days, pulling back now to 80,334 points. I must tell you, not a major move though, because we are only weaker by at least just over 100 points. However, that weakness is certainly coming from the financial stocks, the property index, and more so the metals and mining and resource stocks that we see. Largely, a lot of these gold counters have been safe haven assets that we've seen increased investment going into. So, of course, I guess heightened activity in terms of the moves on the market on that front. Looking at the U.S. Equities space, all opening up in negative territory, despite the fact that we are aware that these particular markets have been on a bull run for quite some time. European markets fairly mixed, with the DAX in the red, the Nikkei in the east, as well as Australia's ASX, all in negative territory there. Looking at the major moves up and down on our local stock exchange, interesting mixed bag in terms of companies that we witness here, being led by the retailers and largely Pick n Pay, pulling back by at least 4%. Interesting, when this week started off, Pick n Pay was a lot firmer. Then we were digesting the news of the incentive package that's been offered to Sean Summers as the CEO. It seems as though investors not really liking it and perhaps re-rating the stock. Telkom, Redefine, MTN also in negative territory. A few of the winners, but not doing too much to move the market. Anglo Platinum, British American Tobacco, Tiger Brands and Sohosan all up between 1 and 2.5%. Let's talk currencies now. One of my favorite themes and topics to discuss, especially with our next guest. 18.17 is where we are to the US dollar, 23.58 to the British pound, and 19.84 against the euro. But let's get some analysis now with one of my favorite people to talk to and joins us in studio today. You can imagine my surprise. We get a call from security that you have a guest coming in today. I look at Sinenja Abula, I say, who? What? We? What? And then we see a lovely leather briefcase, so we knew that you must be a banker. So oh, wow. Lovely to see you, my dede.
Likewise, there's no money in the briefcase anyway.
No money in the briefcase. No, true. We are ethical conduct. But if you just join us, my dede Tular is, joins us from RMB, giving us some insight into currencies every other week that we do speak to him. Interesting week, interesting day. My dede, everything from, gosh, where do we start? I guess since we started off this week following the weekend's events in the US to where we are now today, certainly seems as though it's there's no rest when it comes to the world of geopolitics.
I think, Gugu, if you think about it, when you take one step back, I mean, the rand has been primarily being driven, and global markets actually, just for the past few years, politics has been the big theme. I mean, you know, on Sunday morning when I woke up and seeing Donald Trump with this, you know, possible assassination, we don't know whether it's staged or not. But, you know, it just started off the week in terms of what is really going to happen now over the next few months, especially as you also head out to the U.S. I think it's really going to be really interesting because, I mean, Donald Trump, you know, there's a possible assassination. There was a bit of risk off in the market. And then this morning, you know, 48 hours later, Biden has got COVID-19. So I think it's really going to be quite interesting, especially over the next 4 months before the elections. You know, I think at this point in time, I think the situation is very fluid from a political perspective. But, you know, it's very interesting because it's not only politics in the US, it's also politics locally here. Mm. As you said, I mean, in 45 minutes time, we do have the State of the Nation address. And I think obviously it's going to be quite an interesting speech from President Ramaphosa. We don't know what he's going to say, but obviously we've had the Lekgotla, so I think what he's going to say from there onwards will obviously fuel into the economic sentiment. I don't think it will really fuel into the rand. You know, and I think also we did have a bit of central bank news today. But yeah, I mean, there's too much to consume at this point in time. It's like you're really moving from one headline to the next.
Yeah, and I can imagine how, I guess, frustrating might be too strong a word, but anxiety-inducing it can be for a lot of your clients, even yourselves as bankers, because as we had presumed, you know, the South African elections obviously left a lot of investors sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the results would reveal. Just when things are getting settled with the GNU, now we have a lot more to focus on when it comes to the U.S. And bearing in mind that we still have conflict in the Middle East, Russia and Ukraine still has its own battles taking place at the moment. It's, gosh, like feels like we're always on.
And this is what I cautioned against some few weeks weeks ago. I mean, we're not out of the woods with anything at this point in time. There's too much going on in the world, unfortunately. Whether you look at it from a political perspective, whether you're looking at it from a geopolitical perspective, from a commodity market perspective, everything is just going to be one thing after the other. Make no mistake that if you think that something is not working and you think that the world is going a certain direction, there's going to be something that's going to be a curveball. I mean, if you think about even now, the Chinese numbers that are coming out, it's not looking too great. You know, the world is in a bit of flux at this point in time. But I think the one commodity, I mean, like we said, was Pamandla earlier outside before we came in. I've always been a strong advocate of gold. And I mean, gold at this point in time, yesterday touching 2,470. We've got a lot of gold miners that are obviously looking at that, and it's really making their eyes pop somewhat. I mean, if you think about it, gold also, the reason it's rallying is that potentially, you know, everybody's now starting to talk about a Fed rate cut possibly in September. You know, there's still all this uncertainty that's going on in the market that is also playing into gold as a safe haven currency. And the fact that obviously what you're seeing with Donald Trump, I mean, you know, we call it the Trump trade at this point in time, which is obviously a stronger dollar and also a rise in US yields. There's also the geopolitical tension. There's also the US elections that everybody is now actually wondering as to whether Joe Biden will actually be standing. You know, I mean, at this point in time, you also see, I just saw a headline a few minutes ago, Barack Obama already now starting to whisper into Joe Biden's camp that possibly he needs to step down. Already two other three people in his camp telling him to step down. Sure. So is it possibly Kamala Harris that's going to come to the fore? This is why you're seeing gold prices rally. And on average, I mean, you've seen gold prices actually rally 6% after within the first 30 days after Fed cut. Now, this is historical data. So it looks like if we do see, you know, a rate cut in September, we could see gold prices up another 6%. That's if you go on what has happened in the past few years. So quite an interesting set of, you know, numbers that are being thrown around. Almost every asset class is just doing its own thing. And it's quite interesting because even the Rand at this point in time, nothing is, you know, I think as much as everything's happening locally, we're really range bound, which is really frustrating for a lot of clients at this point. But I think the real, you know, movers and shakers of this currency will be in the next 2 to 3 weeks, especially as we have more data out of the US, we have more numbers in terms of whether we're going to see a rate cut from Jerome Powell. The one thing that gives the market a bit of comfort is the fact that Donald Trump has said that if he does come in, he leaves Jerome Powell in place.
Yes.
So that's quite interesting as well.
Exactly. A sense of certainty, which is definitely what investors do want. Looking at the Rand right now, Madete, it's at 18.18. But when I just think of where we've been in the last month or two, strongest levels at 17, 18, 90. And of course, even weakened to the higher levels of the 18s. And I can imagine, you know, as you've mentioned, a lot more risk factors that we need to be looking out for. You don't have a crystal ball, but I guess you can use historical data to help us understand what the future looks like, right?
Look,
ranges we need to look out for in the short to medium term?
Look, I mean, you know, the funny thing is we've got a lot of oil companies that actually, you know, import the and obviously have to buy dollars. You know, when you speak to them on a daily basis, I still maintain that over the past few weeks, we've failed to break the 1790 level for us to at least go to that 1750. As RMB, we're expecting the Rand to go down to 1750, merely based on the reforms and everything that's coming through with the GNU. Look, there is quite a lot of significant progress being made. I mean, make no mistake, if you think about it now, we were just also just showing some of the clients that we're seeing offshore last week that, you know, from an electricity point of view, we're actually over 100 days now without load shedding. There is positivity there. The manufacturing data is looking good. Already there's a really big impetus in terms of Transnet and making sure that the rail system is working. So, you know, all these reforms are coming into play. It's just a case of right now, you know, historically, you'd find that the Rand is two-thirds driven by what happens on a global perspective and an offshore perspective, and then one other third is driven by what happens locally. At this point in time, I actually feel like, you know, it is a bit of a 50-50 situation. The president's speech today will obviously be quite critical. The Rand does monitor policy continuation in terms of electricity and also the mining sector. I mean, that was a really big focus because because you do get a sense that everybody's worried about what is happening from that sector, given that it is a big growth engine for the country. So nonetheless, I think from a, you know, from a policy perspective, and obviously where the crystal ball is throwing me, I think we're really going to see 1750 very soon. It's just a case that obviously Monday the markets were really spooked by what happened in the US with the possible assassination of Donald Trump, and obviously that just did bring about a bit of risk off. But nonetheless, you know, I think at this point in time, 1750 is where we're going to see the currency, hopefully, very soon. And obviously, that will also play into a lower petrol price as well.
Yes, and that speaks to inflation. And inflation will have an influence on the MPC's target and the adjustments to the repo rate. And like many South Africans, and of course, professionals like yourselves who have been giving us some insight into the MPC in South Africa, and of course, their views on interest rates, I was not surprised. I didn't expect any move in terms of the MPC announcement today, keeping repo rates, as we see, at 8.25%. So, yeah, as South Africans, I guess that means that our pockets are still under pressure. We're still pinching as far as we can. But it would be so intriguing to hear and get your analysis in terms of where the MPC is currently positioned at the moment, and if at all we should be pricing at least a 25 basis points cut.
So, look, I think Lesetsha today was quite an interesting one, because for the first time since September last year, we actually broke the fold that, you know, two out of the six actually were looking for a rate cut, and obviously the other four keeping rates on hold. He did obviously allude to the fact that in the G20 countries, we do have the second highest inflation. We did see inflation printing at 5.2 for the month of May. He has said that he's not going to cut interest rates up until he sees the midpoint of 4.5%. So it was a no-brainer. It was very surprising that 3 out of 23 analysts were actually hoping for a rate cut today. But I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon. The data has to be there that substantiates him cutting.
Data is not the Fed, right? He's always made that very clear. We do not follow the Fed.
And it's going to be quite an interesting one, because, I mean, obviously September is when we're pricing the first cut for the Fed. And then obviously in September as well, we've got our own MPC. But I don't think he will also cut at September. I think if anything, he'll be very prudent and really wait to see. He's also mentioned the risks that are to the top side. I think if anything, at this point in time, we might only see the first cut possibly in November. I think he'll really want to make sure that inflation is really stabilized. I think the market was getting ahead of itself. I mean, I don't see us. I think if you just look at everything across the board, you know, oil prices are still at $85 a barrel. It is still holding up really well. But nonetheless, I mean, it will be gradual. But for me, honestly, I only think we'll start seeing the cuts from November onwards if things, you know, stabilize.
Big if.
Big if.
And even that cut will only be 25 basis points, when what we really want is 125. Right? Then South Africans will be like, whew, I can relax on my home loan.
Look, I mean, if, in all honesty, you know, just from some, you know, reports we've just been analyzing, if we do see things stabilize somewhat, the rand coming off a bit of a situation where in the US there's not too much, you know, instability, and obviously the dollar behaving and numbers coming off, we do foresee over the next 12 months at least 100 basis points worth of cuts. But that's a big if, you know, I mean, you know, as I said, November also, as much as it might feel like it's far away, it's actually very close. And I think for me, the worrisome is that Donald Trump at this point in time is obviously talking the same things that he spoke about, you know, when he was still in power, talking about fixing inflation, talking about tariffs and, you know, China. That trade war could now possibly back on the cards,
right,
if he does come back. And when he said that he wants to lower corporate tax and pump out more oil and gas from the natural reserves that they have. So it does feel like the same rhetoric. But at this point in time, I think it's going to be a wait and see approach. Look, the odds are now, you know, firmly in Donald Trump's favor. That's worrying the market somewhat. But nonetheless, if we do see a dollar strength in November, then it could also maybe mean that possibly Lesetsha also holds the brakes and does not cut.
Definitely. Let's see what that looks like. But I'll call you before I make my way to the U.S. for that fellowship, because Hey, man, the rand, it's scaring me right now.
It's scaring everyone, I can tell you that.
Oh, my dear, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Really appreciate the insight that you've given us and making the time to join us in studio today.
Only a pleasure, Gugu.
Fantastic. That's Madete Tulari, who joins us from RMB, helping us unpack the markets. And as you've heard, a lot more volatility that we should expect, especially in the upcoming days. Interesting tweet there by Biden saying, I'm sick. So with an ill president with COVID-19, listen to me saying president, preempting the results while he currently is. But of course, also witnessing the attempted assassination with Trump, it's going to make for an intriguing time analyzing the U.S. geopolitical environment.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.